50 degrees in Bedford, 51 in Lynchburg, 48 in Amherst, 51 in Salem, 53 in Roanoke, 50 in Danville. Greg Allman, Midnight Rider. That was the name of the movie that I was trying to remember a little while ago. It wasn't Skinner. It was about Allman.
Okay.
William Hurt was the one that was supposed to star in the movie.
Right.
That's the one where it went horribly wrong. Girl ended up dying. A lot of people got hurt.
Yeah.
There's an article even where he describes you know, when the train was coming up on him, and he knew, he said his first thought was someone's going to die today.
Yeah.
And they did try to restart that production.
They did. Oh, gee.
They had so much of it shot. They tried to restart it.
Mm-hmm.
William Hurt said, no way. Mm-hmm. Greg Allman said, no, you're not.
Oh, geez.
Because he just felt like it was just wildly inappropriate.
Okay.
To try to finish it in light of the loss of that young woman.
Sure.
But that's an example of how someone dealt with that properly.
Right.
William Hurt didn't make it all about himself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They acknowledged that there were horrible things that had happened. I don't even think this guy can direct anymore. The guy that did I think he was stripped of of his abilities to do that.
Mm.
But they weathered that storm fairly well. Whereas Alec Baldwin seems to be pouring gasoline
on his,
So,
his interview. You know, I didn't watch it, but you know, we had the teaser yesterday where he said he didn't pull the trigger, and then, as you stated,
he just doubled down.
He pulled the hammer back though on the gun.
Yeah, he pulled the hammer back, but I mean, honestly, George, if I thought I was responsible for that, well, I would just kill myself.
Mm-hmm.
Was one of the things that he said.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I mean, this whole thing that you talk about propaganda, that was a pure propaganda interview,
right,
with Stephanopoulos. I can't even believe he did it.
Yeah.
I mean, they did it for ratings, of course.
Well, a little bit of kamikaze radio here this morning because our young man is not in the studio next door.
He's out sick. Yeah, not doing well.
So we're taking a call here. It is 866-916-3776 if you'd like to talk to me or Janet on the Morning Jam. Hello, who do we have? Well, hang on.
Are you on?
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Oops. Oh, they're not there. Try us back. Sorry.
That's why we love producers.
Yeah, we make sure that somebody's actually there on the line.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
Michigan school shooting superintendent speaking out. About the young man, Ethan Crumbly.
Oh, the one that went in with the gun?
Right.
Yeah.
Fired 30 rounds in the hallways. The superintendent of Oxford Community Schools, Tim Throne, described Oxford High School as a war zone Thursday.
Mm. Wow.
After, you know, the shots were fired, killing 4 classmates, injuring 7 others, including a teacher. Crumbly is also facing terrorism, murder, and other charges. Recorded videos the night before the shooting in which he talked about shooting and killing students the next day.
Mm.
The sophomore's behavior was concerning enough that school officials called Crumbly's parents to the school for a meeting on Tuesday, just a few hours before the shooting. But the superintendent said discipline wasn't warranted. Says there's been a lot of talk about the student that was apprehended, that he was called up to the office and all that kind of stuff. No discipline was warranted.
Okay.
There are no discipline records at the high school. Okay. I'm going to say this about that. Just because there weren't any records at the high school doesn't mean there shouldn't have been records. Your lack of keeping track of these problem children.
Right.
Does not mean it didn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He said, yes, this student did have contact with our front office. Yes, his parents were on campus. again, I'll take any and all questions at a later time, but that's not now. This is as much information as we'll give you today.
Hmm. Wow. Interesting.
And yet we know there were parents who were keeping their kids home from school because of this child.
Yeah, yeah, because of him specifically. Yep.
So it just sounds to me like, Mr. Superintendent, you're trying to CYA is what it looks like.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we're going to try this call again. Looks like we were able to connect this time. Good morning. Wow, it's still not doing it right. I don't know what's going on. Oh, well. Anyway, it's the lack of people. It's all over the culture, all over. People don't want to take responsibility. Like you say, they're covering their own tails. And, it doesn't give. And I know when this happens, like the folks that have lost their loved ones here, they're probably staying away from the news.
Mm-hmm.
So, good morning. You're on the Morning Jam.
Hey, this is Alan.
Third
time is a charm. Good morning. How you doing?
I don't think that was me, but
okay.
Not sure what that was. But did y'all have another caller come on?
Yeah, well, we tried. It just didn't go through.
Are you not listening to us? Why aren't you listening, Alan?
So what's up?
Sometimes there's a little slow bit when you call into your station, you know, where you can't.
It's like a delay.
You know,
yeah.
Hear what y'all are saying too much.
Yeah. So what's on your mind,
but
bud?
Anyway, I just wanted to, I was watching Tucker Carlson last night,
mm-hmm.
and he was talking about how the media, he was showing it, the Jesse Smollett, or whatever his name is.
Smollett,
I guess
yeah.
Dave Chappelle calls him Juicy Smollett,
okay.
or whatever.
Yeah.
The French name.
Mm-hmm.
But why, when you look at that Robin Roberts interview on ABC, I mean, why is she not asking questions? Why were you going to Subway at 2 o'clock in the morning? Subway is not even open at 2 o'clock in the morning. Why ain't she asking him hard questions? I mean, the media just let this guy get away with murder.
That's because if you want a soft interview, you go to Robin. I hate to say it, but...
Well, I mean, the news media. Why? I mean, Tucker played the whole montage of the news media just kissing this guy's butt.
Right.
And just like Alec Baldwin yesterday with Stephanopoulos.
Right.
Oh, well, the gun shot itself.
Mm-hmm.
Steph, are you going to ask a question? How did that happen?
Yeah.
How would a gun shoot itself, Alec? I mean, why can't these people ask questions? Like, you know, I mean, they just think we're that dumb that, a gun shot itself.
Let me tell you why, Alan. Because, number one, they want they want ratings, okay? They got the ratings out of it. Whether people had a tune-out factor, I can't tell you. But the next time, you know, this rolls around something like this, people are going to say, you know, let's take our story to George or Robin. We know we're going to get a fair hearing. And so,
well, I mean, just the Covington school kids, the Russian collusion. Just look at all the lies the media, and Joe Rogan and Ted Nugent were talking about this week on this podcast. The news media is completely lying to everybody. How are we supposed to believe any of them?
Well, you got to take it with a grain of salt. We had dinner last night with a couple, my wife and I, and the lady's very astute and up to things on politics, but she doesn't watch any television. She's just, everything she gets through reading it. She just won't trust the media, you know, anymore.
But I mean, how are we supposed to believe our media? They lie to us constantly. Tucker proved that last night.
Yeah.
I mean, like Joe Rogan said, we can trust Tucker and a lot of independent journalists like Kim Poole or Cheryl Atkinson. But otherwise, the regular media like ABC, CNN, MSNBC, I mean, how are we supposed to believe all of them?
Well, we can't.
NBC?
Yeah, we can't. I mean, just the news guy, I can't remember his name. He's pretty reliable as well. But we have to work hard. If we want to find the truth, we're going to have to look for it through these other sources. Because the legacy media is, I mean, they're done. They're done.
Well, it's WSET as well. Oh, I mean, they're doing
trust
it.
Trust me, we understand that,
clickbait.
Too. We totally understand that.
Well, and we've called them out several times ourselves. So
yeah.
We get it.
Yeah.
And that's when it's disappointing. Is
sure.
When you see it at a local level.
Yes, exactly.
And which is why you've got to, you know, vote with your viewing.
Yeah, or your listening.
Not, if you're not getting right, regardless of whatever it is you're doing, you need to make sure that you're getting the accurate information. And at least from people who will say that they got it wrong when they got it wrong.
Yeah.
We do try hard to do that.
Yeah, we do.
For sure. Hey, when we come back, we'll have a Friday Funny for you. Also,
I love it.
We'll take a look at some of the things you can do to get more in the holiday season feeling this weekend.
Okay.
I found some information on a Christmas parade or two, some light displays you can go through, that kind of thing. We'll have that coming up.
All right. That sounds good. It is 7:16 on a Friday.
Let's get away from sleigh bells. Let's get away from snow. Let's make or break some Christmas, dear. I know the place to go. How'd you like to spend Christmas on Christmas Island?
The Morning Jam with Janet and Mark on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.
Don't you all remember how we would spend more time talking about the food and who brought which dish than we would the guy who actually passed away? I mean, remember, this poor fellow has not even been buried yet. But is anybody talking about him? Oh, no, hell no. Here's the conversation you hear. Well, I see Elizabeth brought that damn macaroni salad. I knew she'd do this. I guarantee you one thing, if it had been somebody on her side of the family, she'd have brought some kind of meat.
It's so true. It is so, so true.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's a Southern thing. I guess, is it a Southern thing? I don't know. I was at a funeral one time.
Critiquing the food.
And one of my aunts, a cousin was walking up and had a big box. And she turned to me and said, "Lord, I hope that's paper plates and utensils." Because she couldn't cook.
Oh.
So I was like, oh my gosh. It's so funny.
Okay.
You have to laugh about it.
7:21. I think we've secured the guy that tried to call a couple of times before. Good morning. Are you there?
I'm here.
All right.
All right. So who do we have on the line?
Stan the man.
Stan the man. Well, good morning, Stan the man.
Stan, aren't you the one that yesterday told me there was such a thing as a chicken fried egg?
Yeah, and how dare you think I would pull your leg?
Stan.
That was very Southern insulting.
Well, you didn't send me the recipe.
I will tell you because it's real simple.
Okay.
I need to get you about a 50-year-old iron skillet.
I have that.
It's got to be cured.
Absolutely.
You know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Or seasoned, or however you want to say it.
All right.
You get you a big old tub of lard. You dump that in there. You get that hot. And you, excuse me, you take your egg, you crack it, put it in there, and you let that thing fry for a little bit. When it's totally, or not totally done, but when it's almost, done all the way through, you take it out and put it in flour. Douse it with your flour, your seasoned flour, and then put it back in there. And you want to talk about smack grandma good? It is good.
Are you serious? You fry an egg.
I can't believe nobody has called in and said, yeah, they've had it before.
Nobody.
She's out at the hunt camp, and then we make up a big old batch of pig gravy.
Okay.
And we pour that on there.
All right, so
you know what pig gravy is, right?
Well, I'm assuming that's white gravy. Is it white
it's
gravy?
Sausage gravy.
Yeah, sausage gravy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sausage.
Yeah.
We call it a pig gravy.
Mark showed me a picture. So the middle, though, isn't Stop. Completely done. Is that right?
Don't touch it.
No. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm talking to my co-driver.
Oh. Oh, you're trucking. That's right.
So the middle of the egg is still soft, though, right?
Very, very little. Yeah, you have very little yolk. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You just kind of time it right.
So. Well, whenever you're through the next time, you may fix this for us.
Yeah.
And I will try it.
So currently, where's your apparently your co-driver's driving? Where are you guys at?
We're going through Illinois.
Oh, wow.
Don't mess with that.
What's going on?
I don't know. This monkey I got, I paid $1,500 for him because he could drive.
Oh.
And he wants to play with the mustard and ketchup tops. And you can't do that while you're driving because he likes to hear the air brakes come on.
Whoa. Mustard and ketchup.
I don't know how BJ McKay did it with that monkey in a truck.
What's the mustard and ketchup knobs?
I think I'm going to sell them for $2,000 to get my money back.
What's the mustard and ketchup? I'm sorry, I'm intrigued. What's the mustard and ketchup knobs?
Mustard and... That's your air brakes.
Okay.
But he wants to play with them. You can't play with it while I'm going down the road.
How big is this monkey?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my gosh. Jeez. All righty. I got you.
All right.
Thanks for calling in.
All righty. Y'all have a good day.
You too.
Take care.
Be careful out there. So, anyway.
There we go. BJ and the Bear.
Oh, this is going out to you, Stan.
Yeah. The chimpanzee. I love me some BJ and the Bear.
Yeah.
Please don't let the monkey drive.
No, not a good idea.
I really did think he was making that up. I didn't think that was a real recipe.
The monkey or the chicken?
Of all of it. I'm still not convinced that it's real. He sounded a little bit like C.W. McCall as well.
He did. Breaker 1-9.
Don't touch that. I thought he had somebody with him. I swear I did.
I did too.
Oh, man. All right. So we've got some holiday events coming up. We're going to try to cover all of our listening areas.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, some of the parade started last night.
Yeah, Thursday.
They kicked off.
Mm-hmm.
The town of Amherst, they're going to be having their reverse Christmas parade.
Huh? Whoa.
Tonight.
Do they go backwards or they start at the end?
Well, motorists observe the parade while participants are in a designated spot along the parade route.
Okay.
So I don't know. I'm a little confused by that.
About as confusing as a monkey driving a tractor trailer.
And fooling with the mustard and ketchup. All the truck drivers knew what he was talking about.
Right. I didn't. That's interesting.
You have truck drivers in your family. How do you not know what that is?
Well, because we never talked about it. I mean, I'm interested in like the Jake brake and the air brake.
Have you never ridden with them in the truck?
No, I have not.
You've never ridden in a big rig?
I've been in...
You haven't lived till you've...
The closest thing I got to a big rig is I drove a, and I didn't do too well because he wanted me to shift without using the clutch, which I learned how to do later in life.
Mm.
But anyway, it was like a 16-speed huge dump truck that had three axles on it. And he was an over the road truck driver too.
Oh, okay.
But he did some local stuff. So
right.
That was the closest
so
I got
to ride
to,
in that.
I All got right. to ride in that, but I've never really ridden in the big rigs, you know.
All right. Couple more things you can take in this weekend. Celebration of Lights is free and open to the public. Lynchburg Parks and Rec do mm-hmm. a drive-through display at Riverside Park.
Okay.
And they're also going to have special events tonight, the 10th and the 11th.
Right.
And the park will be closed to cars those nights.
Okay.
And if you want more information, you can go to LynchburgParksandRec.com.
Okay.
Also, this weekend, a couple of concerts. We've talked about these before, but Lynchburg Symphony Orchestra is having their annual holiday concert, 7:30 at the Academy Center for the Arts.
Okay.
They're going to have a lot of well-known carols and holiday traditions and special arrangements to get everybody in the holiday mood.
Okay.
And then Jefferson Choral Society presents a concert of classical, traditional, and popular Christmas music performed by Central Virginia's oldest and largest adult choir. That's going to be at Timberlake United Methodist at 7:30 tomorrow night.
Okay.
So that's kind of cool.
Good.
I think. And there's also a lot of holiday-themed activities that you can participate with. There's going to be a Santa to a senior wrapping party at the Templeton Center on December 8th and a Letters to Santa writing party on December 9th
yes.
at Templeton. So I've already sent mine in.
Did you?
Yeah.
I got you.
Yep. So, and the Tacky Lights Tour is coming up. You can't forget that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
That's December 14th through the 21st.
Okay.
And it's a 45-minute circuit mm-hmm. that starts and ends at the Miller Center.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And how do you make the Tacky Light Tour? I mean, do you have to submit or do they just drive around and go, yep, that's going to be on the list?
Yeah. Somebody's out there, you know, taking notes. Did we make it this year? I don't know.
And I may have to take my kiddos to Happy Holidays because they're going to have Santa Paws there, and you can get your picture made, your
nice.
Dog's pictures made with Santa, and you learn how to make dog treats.
Sweet.
I mean, I already know how to do that, but $5 per dog, and okay. you can, you know, you get an ornament for your tree and pictures of your pup with Santa Paws.
That is cool.
I know.
I like that.
And you know, my dogs are very photogenic.
So. I have to ask you, are you going for you and Santa, or is it for your dog and Santa? I'm just asking. Or is it for both, maybe? I don't know.
Well.
I think some adults really get into the whole Santa Claus thing.
Well, they do.
Yeah.
I don't, but my pups, I've never had a dog that was quite as photogenic as the boys.
Right.
And they really like people.
Yeah.
So, and beards.
Okay. Hey, our nonprofit expose coming up here in just mere moments.
Expose?
Yes. Cliff Glickman, he's outside the door waiting for us to unlock it.
Okay.
So we'll be back with that interview. He's from the Virginia Aid Legal Society.
Currently, we have 53 degrees right now in Roanoke, 50 in Bedford, 51 in Lynchburg, 50 in Danville, 52 in Salem.
It is 7:35, Friday. We're going to have some more funnies for you. Janet's already done a 5 and 9. So much has happened since that hour. I don't even remember what the 5 and 9 was about.
Well, because we're doing the gifts this year. We're doing the foodie gifts that you can give away. So we did the layer mason jar thing. Now, do you remember?
No.
Oh, Lord.
It's just one of those days.
That's a good story, Grandpa. All right.
You take the story. I'll just sit here and look pretty.
We have been without our producer today, mm-hmm. so that made things a little bit more interesting than other.
But we're winging it.
It would be. Mm-hmm. So Virginia is getting quite a few federal funds over the next 5 years. The bipartisan, they're calling it, infrastructure law is delivering some monies to communities across the Commonwealth and the nations that should help roads, bridges, and trails. And the Virginia Transit System is expected to receive over $1.2 billion over the next 5 years. And they're expected to be distributed in our areas, our listing areas, in Blacksburg, Lynchburg, Roanoke. Going to be seeing a lot of those funds, as well as some funds in the Winchester area, Charlottesville, Fredericksburg as well. If you want more details on exactly where some of those monies are going, I'll have a link on our Facebook page. You can go to that. Just look it up, The Morning Jam on VTRN.
Lynchburg Regional Airport taking off a little more than normal here in the future. Flying into the winter months, we can expect more flights coming and going out of that particular airport this year. There's been an increase in travel demand as the different ebbs and flows of the pandemic happens. That could affect things, but at least for now, American Airlines looking to add seat capacity and the influx of flights coming in and out of Lynchburg. So 2020 looks like it's, or 2022 rather, I'm going backwards, Janet. 2022 looking like a little bit better year as far as traveling in and out of the town of Lynchburg, Virginia.
An unusually dry weather condition is creating a high risk of wildfires in various locations. We've been talking about those all week around Southside, Virginia. We've been seeing that, but also in Charlotte County and Henry County, they've now declared burn bans, whether for open burning or outdoor burning, and that's going to be in place until further notice. The National Weather Service says some of the Southside area, more specifically Halifax, Charlotte, Pennsylvania, and Mecklenburg counties, as well as Danville, are being classified as severe drought conditions. And according to the statement shared by the Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, they declare the majority of the county is experiencing moderate to severe drought conditions. In addition, they expect Charlotte County will receive less precipitation than usual throughout the end of December. Because of those factors, the Sheriff's Office says that a ban on open burning will go into effect at 6 p.m. Earlier this week. That actually went into effect yesterday, and it's going to stay in effect until the county receives a significant amount of rainfall that will decrease that fire risk. And we've seen those fires all over Campbell mm-hmm. County. Yeah. We had a pretty significant one this week. So please be careful because usually they are created by humans mm-hmm. when we start seeing
those darn humanoids.
I know.
They populate the earth. Don't
they screw up everything.
Yeah. 7:38. It is Friday, and our nonprofit feature is just something we do every Friday. We're so glad to do it. And the folks that help sponsor that.
They're really play an important part in building a strong community. We want to thank the Greater Lynchburg Community Foundation for helping us bring you this nonprofit spotlight every Friday here on the Morning Jam. Today, we're going to be talking with the Virginia Legal Aid Society as they are here with us and have been quite busy mm-hmm. in the past year and a half, maybe more than you've ever been before. We've got Cliff Glickman with us today. And Cliff, tell us who you have joining you.
I am the outreach person for Virginia Legal Aid Society, but I brought with me Jeremy White. He is the managing attorney of our Lynchburg office.
Okay, so you're the man in the heat of it. For sure, aren't you?
Yeah, right. We're sort of in the line of fire. I think the big shift pandemic-wise has been so much surrounding housing, and as you know, there's been on and off again with that. But with Virginia Legal Aid, we serve low-income population with civil legal problems, and that includes housing or benefits or like unemployment cases. Mm-hmm. Those are also something that's a whole nother problem at this point.
I was going to ask you, we did a story just earlier this week about a man who had lost his job. It was actually for a physical reason. He had like a health issue. Mm-hmm. He had worked for this company for 26 years, but had some physical things that caused him to lose his job. And so he'd been paying in for years and years and years. I think he took about $9,000 in
benefits.
Yeah. And now they're wanting all that back.
Yeah, that's not uncommon mm-hmm. right now. I forget the numbers, but the system was already, particularly on a real software level, was pretty dated.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then when this demand hit the pandemic, it was pretty much the bottom fell out at the VC. So what they've been working on now, I think this is some consolation maybe, but is that a revamp of their software and their ability to respond.
Sure.
So there have been improvements to, you can get on now and set up a login mm-hmm. as a claimant to see what's going on, to see what VC sees. So there's a little more transparency in some of that. You can also set up a time for them to call you. Mm-hmm. So you can go on, there's a calendaring system. Mm-hmm. So hopefully some of those at least communication problems that had been no one could really navigate
sure.
With the VEC. Hopefully that will help. Now things are still sitting and moving very slowly, but the overpayments definitely are part of that, and we think there's going to be a lot of
mistakes
there.
Well, and I'm not
there.
Even sure that this was an overpayment, but like you say, there's so many, even trying to figure out, drilling it down to what the real issue is a challenge.
Yeah, they're getting the money, and then they're saying they've been overpaid. They mm-hmm. Wait, no, we shouldn't have done that.
Right.
Now, there is a provision now in the law that does allow waiver of some of those where they say it's overpaid in mm-hmm. certain instances. Mm-hmm. And you say, okay, no. We're not going to try and collect if it's our fault. They didn't even used to have that provision.
And right. there's always a certain level of fraud anytime something like this happens on such a large scale. Everybody's running like a chicken with their head cut off, just trying to help meet the needs.
Well, right. I remember my I guess Bryce was 17 at the time when all this happened, and he started getting all this money, and I'm like, don't you cash that? What on earth is going on?
Yeah.
But I don't think most people do that, probably.
Right.
If you've lost your job and you've applied and they send you a check, that you figure they're right.
Well, yeah, that's sure. right. You do assume that, especially if you're, you know, if you're a kid. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he hadn't been working that long.
Sure.
It was just, it was crazy how all that happened. And then, of course, like you say, you've got the people who are scamming the system. Let's talk about the challenges. And I know you all have been dealing really on the front lines with this for a while. And that is the whole landlord situations that people are, you know, getting kicked out of their homes and they're getting far behind on their rent. And you have quite a few clients you're helping that way as well.
That's right. So we've brought on other staff through a grant to help tenants and landlords navigate the rent relief program. And that's really been that funnel of funds from several sources, including federal dollars, to the state through Virginia Housing that says, if you've had any kind of hardship, financial expenses that have gone up, income that's gone down during the pandemic, then you have up to 18 months of eligibility for rent relief. So there's that's also has a new rollout system as of December 1st.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how much will be visible on the front end, but they did switch contractors. We're hopeful that will also add to a more efficient processing time.
Right.
It's also been it's been variable. Some have been pretty quick, but there's also been some delays.
So you have a team of people called housing navigators. Can you tell us a little bit more about how that works and how people can utilize that? Because if I'm understanding this right, you can reach out and utilize this as a tenant or as a landlord. Am I explaining that correctly?
That's correct. That's correct. Just, you know, think about what we're trying to, you know, what the government's trying to accomplish here. That the government does not want a whole bunch of people to get evicted in the middle of a pandemic that would just make everything worse.
Right.
So there's a lot of money available. The federal government has distributed to the states. That doesn't solve the problem yet because the states have to figure out how to get that money to the people who need it. Mm-hmm. And there's a balancing act. You need to try to prevent fraud, as you were saying, that there's always the possibility of fraud in something like this. So you need to ask a certain number of questions, yet try not to make the process so complicated that nobody can do it.
Right.
The solution that Virginia settled on is a process that is a little complicated, but there are folks out there to help people complete the process, and that's where we come in. Our seven housing navigators will help anybody that asks us. We will help you apply for the money. I have some numbers as of the start of December. There's some real money getting put in the hands of the people that need it. We have submitted 559 applications. This is our full territory, which goes beyond the Lynchburg area. Think of Lynchburg down south to like Martinsville and Danville, and then east all the way out to Suffolk. That's the territory that we
cover. Pretty good size. Yeah,
it is. It's roughly the size of the state of Maryland.
Wow,
that's our territory. So we've done more than 500 of these applications. 363 have already been approved. And we have handed out nearly the state has handed out $1.7 million to these people, give it roughly $4,000 per successful application. So that's the kind of help that folks are getting. If you've fallen behind on your rent, fallen behind on your electric payments, or even if you've if you need money to buy food, those sort of basic needs. We don't want people to have to leave their homes.
Right. What are you using to follow up to make sure? Let's say an infusion of $4,000 comes in. What is the follow up to make sure that those monies are going to the landlord, for example, or to the power company? How does that work?
Yeah, well, those dollars just go directly to the landlord.
Okay.
So we're on the front end with the applications and the approval process, and then the state takes care of the actual funding. So the money doesn't roll through us. We're facilitating the application with the state. So the funds either get direct deposit or directly sent to the landlord.
Okay.
Now, one of the things that I want to make sure that people understand, if you need help and you need assistance and information and knowing what your legal rights are, you don't just help people who are renting. You have a lot of fantastic articles, even on your website, that speak to home ownership. And, you know, if you're impacted by the pandemic and you're afraid of, you know, you could lose your home, things like that, what your legal rights are, some of the processes that you steps you can take. Is that correct?
Yeah. At VLAS.org, anyone can look up just a any
There's
kinds
so
of topics,
many great
all
articles,
kinds of information
yeah.
on the current mm-hmm. law in Virginia, and that will answer a lot of questions. The other thing I'll say, you mentioned home ownership. Virginia is getting ready to roll out some mortgage assistance that's
okay.
like this rent relief program. Mm-hmm. No one knows quite when. The pot of money may not be quite as big, but that
right.
is also on the horizon. So we're keeping our eye out for that as well, because there's also that definite need out there.
Is part of this bill that just got passed. I know they're working on another one that's bigger and better, according to them. Anyway, the last one that just made it through in the last couple of weeks, were there monies in there for some of this, or is this from the original CARES Act, from the original bill, or the second one that got passed by Trump during that transition?
Yeah, the monies that are there, and I think including the mortgage money, are from the previous.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's why it's sort of just now getting into
right.
onto the streets.
Right. It takes a while to work.
Slowly, don't they?
Yeah.
It takes a little while. Mm. And I think another important thing is that, you know, that budget amendment language in Virginia mm-hmm. made sure to include that landlords have to apply for RRP. And so landlords can go on and set up their own login on this portal at Virginia Housing.
Okay.
From in the past, we've seen that's been pretty efficient mm-hmm. when landlords do that, because they have to get approved.
Sure.
So there's a front end approval, I think, that gives them some security that it's not going to be fraudulent. So landlords have to now be involved and do this RRP application if someone's had a hardship before they can even file an eviction.
Sure. One of the things that the last time we had you in here is, you guys are literally there to kind of hold the hand of the person who might be overwhelmed. Let's just say I'm a renter and this is hit me really bad because of my job. I can only work maybe 2 days a week or whatever. You guys literally carry them through the process of the applications, which can be a daunting task. You look at 3 or 4 pages and you go, oh my gosh, that's a lot of stuff.
And
you literally and walk them through it.
And it's not just them. I mean, I have a friend who he's been, you know, struggling with cancer and that type thing. One of the things that they did years ago was they established some rental properties to be able, as they got older, to have that be their income. Well, that's his income.
Mm-hmm.
And when COVID hit, you know,
right.
it's so you've got the person paying the rent, they're being impacted, and then you have the landlord,
mm-hmm.
he's being impacted. So, I mean, there's a lot of stressful people that you're dealing with.
There are, and because it's only an online portal, that can sort of make, particularly if you're dealing with an elderly landlord,
mm-hmm.
that can
mm-hmm.
be overwhelming.
Right, right.
They're maybe not even regularly using an email or
right.
real proficient. So we've done some of those troubleshooting sort of things with
right.
landlords as well.
Sure.
So again, let's give them the information about where they need to go to find immediate information, or if you know someone maybe who's older and struggling, you can help get them there or get them the contact information.
Yeah, so the best way is VLAS.org because you have the direct phone line for the rent relief navigators.
Mm-hmm.
You also have our direct line for any legal issue, and it's often they're connected, so you may need to do both. There's also an app on our website to see if you may be eligible as a tenant.
Mm-hmm.
So the toll-free numbers are there to reach out.
And we're going to put a link on our social media as
yeah.
well. And we'll, if you're just coming into this interview, we'll have this interview up a little bit later
yeah,
on
our SoundCloud
as well. We
mm-hmm.
want to thank you so much for the work that you're doing. And
yeah.
thank you for joining us this morning. Chris, this nonprofit spotlight has been brought to you by the Greater Lynchburg Community Foundation.
It is 7:52 on the Morning Jam. Some more Friday funnies coming your way.
And let me tell you what I'm talking about. And don't let this go no further. A year ago, when her sister's husband died, he's the one that got killed in a grain silo. Anyway, when he died, that being her side of the family, hell, she baked the ham. Well, she says she baked it. She didn't bake that damn ham. It had pineapple rings and cherries stuck on it. I said, that's a damn Winn-Dixie ham right there.
Oh, my gosh. He kills me. Yeah. He's so funny.
He's spot on.
Yeah.
That's a Winn-Dixie ham.
That's a dumb, nobody's falling for that. That is a Winn-Dixie ham.
Oh, geez.
Hey, look, sometimes you're grateful if it's a Winn-Dixie ham.
Right.
Instead of, although we don't have Winn-Dixies around here.
Yeah.
But deeper in the South, you do.
Uh-huh.
And they still have Piggly Wigglies.
Yeah, that's right. That's true.
Down there, too.
Gosh, it's just been a while since
and
I've been to one of those.
Food cities.
Food city,
like
yeah.
Like when you're in Bristol and you,
uh-huh.
you know, we'd stopped, I had the kids in the car, and we were going through the Wendy's parking lot, and we were looking for a specific place, and the GPS was being stupid. And
yeah.
She goes, well, you just drive, go out past here where the Wendy's is, and then you turn right at the food city. My kids said the entire trip, they would repeat that line. Mama, turn right at the food city.
Good Lord.
It's great stuff, though. Sweet people. And I love it.
I remember Winn-Dixie growing up, too. We had them all over Florida. They still exist. It's just they took a huge hit for a number of years, and then they were hanging on.
Mm-hmm.
They're still out there.
That's right. For sure. Yeah. Hey, it's International Sweater Festival Day.
Okay. Yeah.
And National Make a Gift Day.
Oh, Make a Gift. Now, I like that.
Well, we've been talking about that all week with mm-hmm. With our situation in our Five and Dines. Mm-hmm. I've been giving you some ideas for foodie gifts because sometimes, you know, you just want like a little something for somebody. If you're looking for something maybe a little different,
mm-hmm.
a not boring gift,
okay,
you might want to consider some of these things. I think this is the perfect gift
all right.
for a care lamb.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
They have Mistaken Lyrics coasters. That's a great gift for somebody, you know, who may or may not get the
lyrics
names
quite
of
right.
the songs. Mm-hmm. Right. They have a couple of different versions of them.
Okay.
Let's see. They have the Hold Me Closer Tony Danza, which
yeah,
is
yeah,
Tiny Dancer.
Yeah, yeah.
And they also have I Want to Hold Your Ham. I don't know if
the Beatles
a Winn-Dixie ham
yeah.
or not.
Mm, yeah.
And then Hit Me With Your Pet Shank. Hit Me With Your Pet Shark. was what that one is. So there's a classic rocks version.
Right.
And then there is a greatest hits version.
Right.
So
okay.
you can give either one. And they're nice little cork coasters.
Yeah.
So if your gift recipient okay. is a neat freak and... they misdo their lyrics.
Yeah, yeah, well.
How about this? Create your own real viewer. You remember the Viewmasters?
Yeah, yeah.
When you were little, you
yeah,
can have
sure.
like the little disc made
yeah.
with your own pictures in it.
Oh, now that's
kind
I like
of interesting.
That. I like that.
Oh, Kara says, I love this. Mistaken Lyrics coasters. Genius. We'll share some more of these, perhaps unconventional gift ideas.
Yeah.
Next hour.
Sounds like a winner. And Mark Dalton from Terry Sue Brew is going to be checking in as well. So we'll have some fun lined up for you, some more Friday funnies. You just never know what might happen. It's our Friday version, December 3rd, right? Last time I checked.
I know. Our anniversary is coming up next week.
I know, on the 7th. Wow. Let's celebrate.
Yeah, we're going to celebrate.
All right, sounds good.